Hi, this is Cherie Curry, and you're listening to Rock Solid with Pat Francis.
Make me a deal and make it good for me. I won't get full of myself, so I can't afford to be. This is small town music, this is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away.
Comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis, and very early record today. I think this might be the earliest that I've ever recorded with a musical guest. And we have two today. We have Cherie Curry and Bree Darling.
Right. Hey, and Pat. You're a late riser, aren't you?
No, I'm actually an early. I get up at like 5:30 or 6 also because I still have teenagers. But I never ask a guest to come in this early. This is what Ken said we would do. And so I said, sure.
Sounds great. I'm more than happy. We're up.
More than happy to do it.
We just came from Hollywood, and I was, of course, Ken Phillips is amazing, and he's driving us. And I thought, you know, I think it's been decades since I've been in Hollywood in the morning.
Yeah.
You know?
And when you were in Hollywood in the morning, you were probably up all night
of course.
Still in the morning.
Exactly. You're exactly right.
We started last night.
And horrified. Yeah. Being horrified at the same time. Yeah. This was actually a feel good to watch, to see Hollywood in the morning light and not be horrified.
Yeah, and not be horrified.
Right.
Also, you brought him up. So let's give, Ken Phillips is a super nice dude.
Woo! I've worked with,
he's your PR person.
PR extraordinaire, Ken.
And I've worked with many PR people, and I'm going to say only one was bad, but Ken is exceptional. He's at the top of the list. And I'm not just saying that, Ken.
No, he really
He's
is.
Really good.
That's just the thing. When Bree and I got together, I was telling her, you have to meet Ken. And Ken and I have worked together since before the Runaways movie happened. And I told her, well, I'm not doing it without him. So, you're gonna
have to come along.
She hadn't had great experiences with PR people.
And now
really.
I am a believer.
Uh-huh. Yes.
He is the best.
There's no going back now.
There's no going back.
And now you're going to get him a lot more clients because you're going to just keep recommending him.
That's exactly right.
Well, there's no one better than him. And no one cuter. I mean, we're just talking. He has no age. This guy, it's like, he looks like a teenager, and then Bree thinks, well, maybe he could be in his 30s. I said, no, he looks like he's in his 20s,
and it turns out he's actually 12.
All right, so anyone who doesn't know who Cherie Curry and Bree Darling are, I'm going to tell you right now, really quickly. First of all, you guys just had a sold-out event at the Grammy Museum, correct?
Yes.
To promote this new record, your first record together,
called the very first show ever.
You did your first show
at the Grammy Museum.
Are there going to be other shows? Are you guys going to do?
Of course.
Okay. I live in LA, so I know that I'll get to see you because there's no way you're not going to play in LA.
I actually think we're going to be playing the Whiskey A Go Go on November 7th. That's going to be our very
All
first.
Right. Lock that in,
our
LA
very
listeners.
First show. Mm-hmm. I mean, right now, tentative.
Now, is it just going to be the two of you? Who's going to round out the people on stage? Will there be other people on stage?
Yeah, we've got Dave Schultz, who is actually right now on tour with Berlin and the B-52s.
Okay, cool.
He's from the Goo Goo Dolls, and he's our music
director
All right.
extraordinaire as well.
Eric Dover on guitar from Jellyfish.
All right, that's Jellyfish
awesome.
Is amazing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. No kidding. He's a gem, wonderful guy. Matt Olofsson on drums, really wonderful.
Well, wait, I thought you would be playing drums.
I am playing drums on some of the songs, but right. I'm up front with Cherie.
Yeah.
She demanded that of me, and I have to say, I'm having a ball up there with
that's
her.
That's good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm doing double duty. And then we have, right now anyway, we don't know who's going to be there when we get our band because some of these guys are working musicians.
Yeah, but, and they might not be available, so you have to go to someone else.
Yeah.
What about your husband, Dave? Will he be joining at all?
He might be doing the in-town stuff, so he might be there at the Whiskey, Dave Darling, on acoustic guitar.
Who produced this album, The Motivator?
Yes, he did.
Six-time Grammy-nominated producer.
Yeah. This album sounds amazing.
Thank you so much. I didn't know
what to expect when I put it on. I really didn't. You know what I mean? Because I was like, all right, let's... And start to finish, You guys killed it.
Were you happy?
I was very happy.
I love that.
I love the covers that you picked because you picked some of my favorite songs. Like I love Do It Again by the Kinks. That's off Word of Mouth, one of my favorite 80s Kinks albums.
Awesome.
And you guys picked really, really good covers to do. And the three originals are stellar.
Thank you so much.
So, well, let's start. Okay. Cherie, we know you from The Runaways.
Everybody knows
Everyone
Cherie.
Knows you. You're iconic.
Ah, yes.
It's almost ridiculous to even have to say that. People know.
Oh.
And Bree, you played with a band called Fanny.
Nobody knows me. So let's fix that right here and
let's
now.
Let's fix it. But, and I got to be honest, I had to do my research on Bree Darling big time. And you have had an amazing career.
Thank you.
And Fanny, you came in on the fifth album?
Yeah, I actually played with the girls, some of the girls in Fanny, way back before Fanny got signed.
Okay.
And then I quit for a while, did some other things, a lot of recording and some other things, and then came back for the last album, Rock and Roll Survivors.
Yep.
And that is when Fanny had its biggest hit, which was in the top 20s, a Butter Boy,
mm-hmm.
written about David Bowie. And then moved on to do some other things. But yeah, so I was part of the Fanny history.
And then you also, there was a reunion album of sorts called Fanny Walked the Earth.
Yes.
That's a fantastic album.
Thank you
That's
so
a nice
much.
Companion to The Motivator. Because I've been listening to both of those back to back this weekend. And that's just an amazing album too. And Cherie, you're on that doing some background work.
Well, you
that's
know, Dave Darling, he produced the Fanny Walks the Earth album, you know?
Yeah.
And that's how Cherie and I met. So
you hit it off immediately.
Yes.
Let's play a quick song. I got to play a song so we can get people out there to hear some of this music, enjoy this music, and then I'm going to keep talking to you guys. So this is the title track. This is a cover of a Mark Bolan song.
Yes.
T-Rex.
Yes.
And this is The Motivator. That's Bree on drums.
Yes.
And this is a song that I wasn't familiar with. So if I hadn't read the liner notes, I would have thought this was an original tune. It's just one of those ones I wasn't familiar with from T-Rex.
And I'm glad you said that. I don't feel so guilty because I was not familiar with this song either.
I know a lot, but I don't know everything.
Yeah.
And you know what? I mean, when I listened to the original, I went, how and why? Because the original just didn't really, it was much slower mm-hmm. and very, to me, I thought it was a little, I mean, it's great, but a bit back really, really showed the time it was written, you know, a little laborious to me as well. It was just like, I don't know, and oh my God, and listen to what Dave did. Yeah, I mean, just killed it.
Yeah, you guys made it fun. I mean, this is a really fun song. Who chose the songs for the album?
Again, well, we all did.
We all did. That particular one Dave picked. And, mm-hmm. and like Cherie said, we weren't quite sold on that. And he said, let me just make the track and then judge, you know. And he did. And, of course, we were sold.
You were sold.
But we all picked. We pulled things, some of our favorites that we each had, and we shared them with each other. And this is what we came up with. And cool. It was hard to pick 9 out of, you know, so many from a wonderful time in music when songs were gems.
And you're sharing lead vocals. Like that was you on the main lead on that song, correct?
Well, we share. I mean, I did the first verse. Mm-hmm. She did the second verse. Yeah. I did the third. She did the fourth. This song was the catalyst for how the record was going to go because in the beginning it was really going to be more like Bree would do 5 songs, I'd do 5 songs, and then we'd back each other up. But I did not have that vision. I had the vision of us doing duets and. Bree had a slight advantage because she did all the scratch vocals.
Okay.
Because, she and Dave are married, so their studio's at their house. But this was a song that Dave had really thought that I was going to do the lead on. So Bree, but she did the scratch on it. She loved the song, and her being the team player that she is, you know, she was very sad. I mean, I could see a little tear. She walked in, and it was like she was saying goodbye to the song and good luck to me with the vocal, and I could see the little tear pooling. And I already knew that I was going to convince Dave Darling that we needed to split this song.
Yeah.
And he said, of course, said, no, we're not going to. And I said, Dave, you must put in that scratch in the second verse. And he did. And he went, don't tell her.
Oh,
just bring her in.
So he surprised her.
We surprised her. She goes, nice. He goes, she's going to be so excited. I said, of course she is, because it sounds great.
Yeah.
And she was trying to dance with little tears still, little tiny tear cresting. And all of a sudden, when she heard her voice, she just started jumping up. And it was such a great moment, because I love being right.
But see how cool she is. This is what she gave me, and this is what she continues to do, is she just is so big-hearted and shares that kind of thing. And, because I had fun singing it. And the cool thing is when I got to sing it, it took off all the pressure, because I just sang because I knew Cherie was going to sing the song. I was doing a dummy vocal. And so I just got to, like, just do it without any kind of... I didn't have to worry about performing it. But she's right after I sang it, I was going, wow, that was fun. Wow, that's cool. And, you know, I was like, okay, cool. And I said, you're sure? And Dave said, oh, yeah, no, this is Cherie's. But I don't know if I call that an advantage, because I have to do all the, you know, the demo vocals
right.
first. And, you know, it's like... But... You know,
there's songs on the record that I absolutely knew, like which it just goes to show that this was there's a little bit of a universe, you know, at work here, because Give Me Some Truth was one that I just thought, well, you know, maybe possibly if I had to sing on it, but all of a sudden Dave sent me her scratch vocal on Give Me Some Truth, and I just said, well, that's done, you know, there's just. How do you top that great vocal? I mean, you know, so I mean, things just kind of fell into place of how who sang what and how we did it and everything. And there was never any argument or any self-doubt or any
No diva moments?
No, not at all.
There were no diva moments,
good.
Which I have to say, that might be
a first.
Yeah. It was pretty cool. There was, like, I did the original... the Kinks tune, and I didn't like the way I sang it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was not selling it. I was not happy with my performance. That was supposed to be my song. And Cherie says, I'll sing it. And I said, great, man, because I don't dig the way I'm singing it.
Well, that's
she
good
sounds
that,
fantastic.
I like that you're self-aware, and because some people just be like, no, I want to get my voice on as many songs as possible, and I don't care. But you care about it. You're like, I think Cherie can do a better job, so I'm going to let her do it.
Yeah.
I love your voices are definitely different, but then they intertwine like so nicely that at some points I was like, wait, who's that? Is that which one is that?
It's very weird.
We're different, and yet sometimes I go, is that me? And when we had to learn the songs for the live show, I was going, is that me or her? Am I singing that, or is that weird?
Weird. And Cherie, your voice is I think it's better than ever. I think you have more control. I think there's like a husky, self-assured quality.
I couldn't sing worth shit when I was in the Runaways. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, and plus, you know, I was just, you know, coming of age. Can't we say? You know what I mean? I mean, I was new to Tampax and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And my voice was changing, you know?
Yeah.
And my voice was very low. It still is. But I mean, low. And anyway, so my voice was changing, and I couldn't sing to save my life in the Runaways. But now, you know,
you have all these years of experience singing.
Yeah, I actually think I could somewhat sing now in a way. I've found my own style as well, and that's when it comes to a point where you really don't give a shit anymore.
I was complimenting you. I hope you took it as a compliment.
I did.
Okay.
Very much so. It means a lot to me because, you know, I've always said, well, you know, I just wasn't born with very good chords, and I always believed that. And now it's like, you know what? I mean, it's to me, it's attitude. It's belief in the song.
It's rock and roll.
It's rock and roll.
You know what I think Cherie does that is the most important thing is you know when it's her singing.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
That you can't buy that.
No.
When you have something unique, a unique sound that you are that recognizable, that is what is so special.
That's what makes her iconic.
Yep. That's right.
Now, Bree, you have, first of all, we have a mutual friend with Lisa Goich and Ted, her husband Teddy.
Yeah.
I've known Lisa for 30 years from our stand-up days in Chicago.
That's right. Okay.
And so I texted her last night. I'm like, do you know Bree Darling? And she's like, yes, I built her website.
That's right. Poor Lisa, and I was bugging her for information about that. Yeah, sorry, Lisa.
But yeah, Lisa and Teddy, they just intertwine with everyone I meet. It's crazy.
I've worked with Ted on so many projects. He is just, he's the bomb.
And did you both tour with Carole King at the same time?
Yes, we did. And so, Boxing Gandhi's and various things.
Robert, you toured with Robert Palmer?
Yes, I did.
This is the thing. This is, you have such a resume that people probably don't know about, sadly, but you've still been able to have a career making music.
Yeah, I did. I've pretty much done it all my life. That's what I do.
Yeah, that's what you do. So, and making cakes?
Well, that was for this little short little time. I kind of fell into that, and it was really big fun. And that's one thing Cherie have and I have in common is we're artists. We make stuff.
Yeah.
And I love that, too.
Could you make a chainsaw cake? If I had a cake, could you carve it with your chainsaw?
I think that we should...
Because you're a chainsaw artist,
yes, I
Cherie.
Am. That's a little bit of a bone of contention. Remember the hell that we went through with that whole thing with someone that was trying to help us come up with ideas for
concept.
The album covers and
okay.
stuff. And it was all about me cutting up a damn cake with a chainsaw.
Oh, it was?
Oh, I think
now
it still
me.
Would be a
now
great...
Now I feel bad that I said that corny thing.
No. It's still a great image, you know.
It is a fantastic image, but it would ruin the saw.
No, but you don't... Just having those images mm-hmm. with us with what we do.
Yeah.
Nobody else can make that picture.
No.
It's a great
image. No, we'll end up doing it. She did bake me a cake for my 59th birthday.
Is she a good baker?
She's amazing. It was a leopard. The inside was leopard spotted. I mean, I don't know how she does it. Have you seen her cakes?
Yes, I have. I've looked online. I've saw some pictures.
Oh, my God.
Now, once people know that you are a great baker, are they always hitting you up like... to make them stuff?
Yeah, but you know, I don't have time for that anymore. This music stuff is time consuming, and this is what I love. This is my love.
Yeah, so. And the cake is only going to be for the people in the room, but the music, it's for everyone. So let's listen to, I want to listen to one of the originals on here. This is my favorite song on the album.
I know which one it is.
This Is Our Time is my favorite.
Oh, wow.
Oh, what did you think it would be?
Well, my son, JK's, his favorite song on the entire album is Too Bruised.
Wow.
Too Bruised? That's it. I have that one queued up for later, but this is our time.
We're taking care of the business of a lifetime. Every step, watching for a landmine. Settle in, it's gonna be a bumpy ride. A bumpy ride. So spike up your hair and turn.
All right, so that was This Is Our Town. You guys wrote that?
Yes, we did.
I love it. Did you guys, was there, did you think that you wanted to put more originals? At one point, did you think maybe half covers and half originals? Or was it originally started as being a covers album?
It was a covers album, and also knowing that we were going to have to put a couple originals in there.
Yeah.
But you know what? This I think, in a way, that this record was somewhat of an afterthought to Dave Darling, and because of the Fanny record with Gene Millington having a stroke and Brie not being able to go out on tour.
Yeah.
I think that this was just, to Dave, it was a no-brainer that me and Brie do something together. And, you know, so, I mean, it just all worked out terrific, but... I forgot the what I was even talking about. You see, that's what happens.
From tampons to depends.
Yeah, tampons to depends.
How is Jean doing now?
You know, the last time I spoke to her, which isn't very long ago, because she's been a friend for, you know, over 50 years
sure.
now. She's still in
Take a drink of water, Cherie. She's having a personal moment over
so
there.
So sorry. I mean, the tears squirt out of my eyes sometimes. She made she.
Oh, Jean's still you know in rehabilitation okay. for her stroke and still working on it. She's not playing yet again, okay. and yeah.
Anyway, well, we wish her well.
Thank you so much.
All right, so the Runaways and Fanny. Without these bands, there's really because Fanny was the first. All-female band to be signed to a major label.
To do a full-length LP.
Yeah. It wasn't like in the 60s when the girl groups would do singles and stuff.
That's
this was
right.
a full-length
right.
LP. Now, without these two groups, I don't think we have the Bangles and the Go-Go's and any...
Somebody would have done it. Just yeah. happened to be us.
Well, yeah. Aren't you happy that it was you?
Yes.
I think absolutely, and I'm not... I cannot downplay... The right time with the right people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, with the Runaways, especially. I mean, it's the only thing I experienced, and you know, so I can't talk for Brie, but it really was the perfect time. But then we quit too early. I mean, we burn out too early. But
yeah.
But yeah, it was really. It felt like we were doing the right thing at the right time.
You were 16.
I was 15 when I joined the
You were 15.
Band.
See, yeah. my daughter's going to be 15, and I can't even, my youngest, I'm like, I can't even imagine, like, wait a minute, what's going to happen now in next year? No, that's not happening.
You know, it's so funny you would say that, because my son, when he was 16, Trevor Lukather, he of course, is...
Yeah, Steve Lukather's
yeah,
son.
And Marie Curry, my mm-hmm. my twin. And Trevor wanted Jake to go on tour with him. He was, and I just said, Jake, how would you like your no? Fast or slow? Unless I'm going with you, you ain't going.
But did he say, but Mom, you did it?
Of course.
And
I said, exactly. That's exactly why. No.
Because I know what I'm talking about.
Exactly.
So how did your parents let you do that at that age?
I just really realized that they must have loved us very much. I mean, in a way that I could never. I mean, I love my son
yeah.
with everything, but there's not a chance that I. But also, the thing is that we actually got signed. We mm-hmm. had a deal.
You had a deal.
And it was unheard of. We were doing something that, you know, we were getting huge billboards on Sunset. And so it wasn't a slouchy thing, you know.
Right.
I mean, we were really had a lot of backing and support from the company. And what are you going to say? No, you can't have your dream to your kid?
It would be tough. It would be, and the parents didn't go along either. You guys just went.
We went alone. First tour was 3.5 months. I mean, that's a long time to be on tour and not see your family, because I'd never been away from my family.
Unsupervised.
Unsupervised.
Huh? Unsupervised.
Yeah. Were you afraid to be alone? Were you scared? I mean, you were with the girls.
I was with Joan, and I were really close. Mm-hmm. We roomed together. I mean, we kind of really took care of each other. And I'll never forget the first night we were going through the Mojave Desert in a big rundown motorhome, right? And all of a sudden I got struck with the worst homesickness. I mean, the kind of debilitating
yeah.
kind that where you know, it painful. And I turned to Lita and I said, my God, I can't do this. And I mean, I literally started having a meltdown. And Lita turned around and she goes, you think you're the only one that's homesick? I'm going to be homesick too, but when I come back, I want to be somebody.
Wow.
And when she said that, the homesickness went away, and I never was homesick again until the UK, which was hell on earth. But, you know, I mean, that helped me, and that just, you know, switched that mindset.
You almost sounded like Lita a little bit. You did a little Lita impression almost, a little kind of.
Yeah, I think I can do that. Yeah, I think I can.
Yeah, Lita's been on the show. She was fantastic.
She can be fun.
Yeah.
We had a lot of fun playing together just the last few years. But yeah.
Well, I got to play a little bit. I mean, it was in Guardians of the Galaxy, so everyone
yeah.
knows the song. Did you know it was going to be in Guardians of the Galaxy, or did you see the movie? Or and all of a sudden there's your voice in
no,
the theater.
I'd heard that it was in Guardians, and I never saw the movie until just recently.
Yeah.
And I was pretty darn proud.
That's how I told my daughter today. I said, I have to podcast this morning. And she's like, you're not driving me to camp. I go, no, Mommy's going to take you to camp. I have to go podcast. She's like, why are you podcasting? I go, you know the song Cherry Bomb? She goes, yeah. And then she started singing it. I go, the person that sings that, that's who I'm, one of the people I'm talking to today. She's like, oh, okay, you can go. So here's Cherry Bomb. Never gets old. Never gets sick of it. It's one of those songs.
It's awesome.
You know,
yeah,
our,
it's awesome.
Our string, was it the string? Yeah, the string section was recorded at the old Fidel. This was recorded at the Fidelity Studios where we did the strings.
It was for our motivator.
For our album.
For the motivator.
Yeah, it was the old Fidelity Studios on Moore Park and
Whitsitt. And
yeah.
Cherie walks in there and she went, hey.
Hey, wait a minute.
It
deja
hasn't
vu.
Changed at all. But that's the first song that I ever sang.
You nailed it. How many takes did that take?
It was two takes.
Two takes.
And that was it. And then he said, get out.
Did they splice the two takes together or did
no,
they use
just,
one or
they
the other?
They layered them one on top
oh,
of the
okay,
other.
Cool.
Well, that's why it sounds like, you know, yeah.
But so
yeah,
Cherie
it's fat. It's got a fat. Thick sound. I love it.
Mm. Cherie told me this great story. Didn't you say that they you were nervous because you'd never sung and they turned out the lights?
Oh, I was so nervous. I have to really thank Kim Fowley for this. God rest his soul. You know, he gave me a handheld mic because I no one could look at me. You know, you can't look at me.
You and, definitely were a teenager.
And
this is exactly
off,
what a teenager
and
says.
And gave me a mic to hold, and I walked around in the dark like you know, when we're alone in our rooms. Like
yeah, you're holding a hairbrush.
Holding the hairbrush, like I used to, you know, lip sync all by myself. I want to live all by myself anymore. And I mean, you know, that was yeah. that kind of thing. He let me do that, and which was so great.
That is good.
I actually, you know, with that.
Well, he was probably like, I got to get the take out of this kid. How am I going to do it?
Well, you can do anything when no one's watching
that's
in the
true.
Dark.
That's
I love
true.
That. Mm-hmm.
Bree, you mentioned Butter Boy, and I have that queued up. Listen. Now, who's singing on this? It's not you singing.
No, that's Jean. That's Jean Millington. She at the time. I'm gonna blow this story if anybody doesn't know. No, she was seeing David
mm-hmm.
at the time.
There you go.
And somebody interviewing us a little while ago asked her, "What did he think about that, David, about the song being written about him?" And she said, "I don't think he ever knew."
Very nice. And what does Butter Boy mean? What does it mean, Butter Boy?
I am going to leave this up to your imagination.
All right.
I've been waiting to hear this song. I told Bree I was going to listen to it when I got home, so now I get to hear it.
Here
Woo-hoo!
We go.
Was hard as a rock, but I was ready to roll. What a shock to find out I was in control of the situation. I didn't need no time or destination. He said, say you looking fine. Never met you before. I said, your place or mine. It's getting hard to be sure of an invitation.
So did you get to meet David Bowie?
Oh, yeah. He used to come backstage and give us pep talks and give us advice and all sorts of things. He was very cool. He was a great supporter. And then, of course, there's that wonderful shout-out he gave us in the Rolling Stone at the, what was it, the 2000?
The induction, or is that, are you talking about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
No. There was a, it was either 1999 special edition Rolling Stone where he gave us a really nice shout
out. Oh, in an interview.
Yeah,
nice.
In an interview.
Very nice.
Yeah, very cool.
All right, let's get back to the motivator real quick. We were talking about the Kinks song, Do It Again. So let's hear a little bit of Do It Again from the motivator. This is really cool. I love what you guys did with this. Really excellent.
Where are all the people going?
Round and round till we reach the end.
One day leading to another.
Get up, go out, do it again.
Then we're back where we started. Here we go around again. Back where we started. Come on.
And there's an animated video for this right now. You can see it on YouTube. Is that correct?
A lyric video.
Yeah, yeah. A lyric video.
Yeah, yes.
But you guys aren't in it.
No.
Okay. Now, how did you pick that? I mean, there's so many Kinks songs. There's so many Kinks songs you could choose from. How did you guys go to something from this 80s album?
I think we were looking for things that weren't as well known, that hadn't been...
Gotcha.
You know,
done to death.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And that one, actually, my little brother picked that one. He said, "I have a song for you," and that's the only one that's kind of from a later period. But it's a '60s, '70s group.
Yeah, the Kinks.
But
yeah, yeah.
That one's from the '80s. Yeah.
Cool.
I love the original too. I really, really.
Yeah.
I love the video.
Awesome. Yeah.
I mean, it's, but again, you know, Dave, he shortened it up and he tightened it up and he made it and also Phil Campbell from Motorhead plays the
really,
yeah, that's his voice as the conductor.
Yes,
that's very cool,
telling everybody.
So you guys called in some favors for this album too.
Heck yeah.
I saw some of the background vocals. There's a whole group of people. It said Susan Olsen. Is that Brady Bunch Susan Olsen?
Yes, of course.
It also says Robert Hayes. I think you know that gentleman.
Yes, my ex-husband.
Your ex-husband. So obviously, yes. Still friendly.
Very.
Because you had to co-parent all those years?
Of course.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And so I thought, you know, that was great. You guys must have just been having a blast laying down the background vocals and stuff.
Oh, it was hysterical. It was a room full of friends and family. It was just a circus.
How long does it take to put this album together? Start to finish.
Well, that's because Dave works quick, doesn't he?
He doesn't mess around. We did that pretty fast, I think. All in all, like, what, a month or two?
Oh, I don't know. I really couldn't tell you, but just even with the background vocals, of course, I brought in all my friends, and Allison, who was in Warehouse 13, and my sister Sandra, and Dave just turned around as soon as everyone got there, and he thought, Cherie, why did you bring all these people?
And can they sing?
And he just turned around and said, if you don't sing good, you're out.
You're out.
And I was like, and thank God that they pulled it off.
He can make magic happen, and yeah, we got it all done.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. That's pretty quick to make an album, but this sounds so great. What do I want to say? It's not a do it yourself sounding album at all. It's super professional. It's amazing.
Oh, it is. Yeah,
it's,
I mean,
so good.
I was so lucky because I'd just walk in and I'd be there maybe maximum 2 hours, and then you go, okay, that's it, bye. And it was like, really?
Really?
So I'd be home before traffic. I mean, I'd get there at noon, be home before traffic.
Home before traffic.
And then it was just easy.
That's the rock star life now.
That's it.
Now it's, I'm going to be home before traffic.
This is that advantage she was talking about I had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was me working for hours before she got
there.
Putting down the scratches.
I'm going to assume you recorded a lot of this in your pajamas probably, because you just fell out of bed and right into the studio.
That's me.
All right, here's another original. This is the one you said your son likes.
Yeah,
his name's Jake.
Jake.
Two Bruised. Is this the one? Here we go.
I'm letting go, not holding out for one of us to come around. Little knife cuts left us flayed and bare. Be it right or be it wrong, our crossing paths became our cross to bear. And it's taken us down.
See, I like that one too. So now it is hard to pick a, what my favorite original is, because that one's really great. Sounds great in the headphones.
That's
too.
That's a killer song. Yeah. Thank you.
Tell Dave, great producing.
I will tell
Amazing. Him. Let's jump to The Runaways again. What did you think of the movie's based on Neon Angel, your book, mm-hmm. a memoir of a runaway, but yet it felt like it was more Joan's project. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Because she was like, she was executive producer.
Right. Yeah. You know what? I love the act. I wasn't thrilled about the music mm-hmm. choices, which I made pretty clear because they all, I mean, you know, it was a movie about the Runaways, but Joan and Kenny only picked Joan's singing
yeah.
the songs. And that pissed me off.
Sure.
It's like, you know what? I'm the lead singer, and it's about me too. And why does Joan's music and they kept one at a time pulling songs out?
That's a money thing,
I guess it was. Yeah. But to me, it hit me in the heart.
Sure,
it wasn't right. And I mean, I don't care about the money thing. I mean, what's right? That's the
yeah,
right thing.
Right. Get the story right.
But you know, I mean, Dakota was one of my it still is one of my favorite actors of all time.
Well, that's the thing. You had to be thrilled with the casting because
oh, I was.
I'm not a big Kristen Stewart fan, and
she
I thought
was
this
great.
Was the best acting she's ever done. Like. She totally, I don't know Joan Jett, but I've totally felt like she had the essence of Joan Jett. I mean, it was almost a little creepy.
It was
I'm like,
spooky.
That really seems like that's Joan Jett.
And she, yeah, and it was funny because Kristen called me for something, or she got on, and I thought it was Joan. And I said, hey, Joan. And she goes, no, it's Kristen. And I was Kristen. And I was like, what? Oh my God, it sounded so much like Joan.
Wow.
Yeah, she really embodied Joan, I thought. Yeah. And also Michael Shannon was amazing as Kim Fell. He's
yes.
just off the map.
Yes,
anyway,
he's crazy off the charts. Yeah, great actor. But yeah, Dakota Fanning was great in that role.
Yeah.
And what always strikes me when I see old pictures of you in The Runaways is that hair is just like, it just is it is that hairspray? Is it plastered down? You would feather it and it's just like boom.
Actually, you know, I mean, we did the problem with hairspray back, you do just a little bit,
uh-huh.
you know, but I mean, when you'd sweat you know, we would be drenched. And so hairspray and drenched hair mm-hmm. didn't work either. Back then when you're young,
yeah.
when you're really young, you have just springier hair.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You don't need hairspray.
I miss my springy hair.
I do too.
One more question about The Runaways, and I want to jump into the. I'm all over the map, but I'm trying to. I want to give equal time to both of you because I love you both. You're amazing, and I want to talk about this Fanny Walk the Earth because
it's such
that.
A good
I'm
album.
So good.
Yeah.
And I want people to go buy it. I want people to
awesome.
To know about it. I don't want this to just be. I'm like they made this great piece of work. I don't want it to just be in the ether and no one's knowing about
Thank
it.
Thank you.
But when the Runaways' first album came out, you're on the cover.
Yeah.
What's the band think of that?
That was bad. And I was really begging Kim Fowley to not use that. And, you know, I said, this is just a bad way to start.
To start,
this.
It is. I mean, it's a great cover, but I
well,
mean...
Well, you know, you were saying it's a money thing.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what Mercury Records and Kim Fowley was telling all of us because I just was, they were so mad at me and it was just.
And it's not your fault.
It's not my fault, but that was the story of my life with that band.
Yeah.
Because I was on the covers of all the magazines, unless yeah. it was a guitar player magazine or a drummer magazine, I was on the cover.
I mean, the lead vocalist does get that.
Of course. I mean, every
yeah.
lead vocalist
but
does.
But I mean, the first Van Halen album, if it would have just had David Lee Roth in the cover, that wouldn't have flown with anyone.
No,
you know
I
mean?
Wouldn't have.
So.
And you know, but I was wearing a corset. Look, I don't know. All I know is it caused just awful damage.
Yeah, that would cause a rift right off the bat.
Plus,
that's
you're
rough.
Young. You're just, you know, just out the gate into becoming a woman. And so there was a lot of hormones and mm-hmm. a lot of insecurity from every single one of us.
Yeah.
So you're just dealing with young kids that don't even know how to...
Yeah,
You
were put in a rough position by whatever it is, management or the record label, that's sad.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, that was the beginning of the end.
Yeah, that's the taking advantage of that happens when you're too young.
That doesn't necessarily go away when you get older.
Well,
you know,
no, I guess
egos
not.
Egos are egos,
yeah.
and I think that goes on.
Yeah, you're probably right. 2018, just last year, you made this record. You got two out. Did you ever think that in 2018 and 2019, you'd have two pieces of work out there?
I have more than that.
You do?
Yeah.
More coming?
Yeah. Boxing Gandhis has a record that's going to be released this month. Yeah.
And who else in the Boxing Gandhis? Is Teddy on that?
Teddy's on that album. Yes.
Amazing keyboard player.
Yeah.
So, and this is your husband, Dave.
Yes, of course.
And you.
Yes.
And who else rounds that out?
Oh, God, the other Boxing Gandhis, Carl Seelov, some of the originals, Davey Farragher, Paul Bushnell is on it, the bass player.
Nice.
Ernie Perez, one of the original singers, of course. Alfredo Ballesteros unfortunately passed away right after the album was finished.
No.
So he went on out on a high note, which is awesome. Eric Fowler from Boxing Gandhis and a bunch of people. There's too many because there were so many Boxing Gandhis.
Yeah, because
so.
it's an ever-changing type of musicians.
But the original core
is there.
Yeah.
That's excellent. Cool. I'll look for that and I'll talk about that on the show. But I want to talk about this. Fanny Walked the Earth.
Yeah.
You couldn't call it Fanny?
We could have. June had a tough time with wanting to call it Fanny. Mm-hmm. And I can't really go into all the reasons why she didn't want to. I'll let you talk to her about that sometime.
We won't gossip.
But so she came up with the name Fanny Walked the Earth, which I thought was hysterical because I loved that name and it you know, referred to us being dinosaurs, which we are. So I loved it and I said, okay, fine, that's great. And so we did call it, but it is the women who recorded as Fanny and that's who is on it. And I liked the idea of bringing some of the past members of Fanny into it.
Sure.
So Alice DeBeer is on it and Patty Quatro. And Patty is the reason that Sheree and I met.
And Patty is Susie Quatro's sister?
Yes,
it's crazy. Absolutely. This is all, you guys are all connected, this big rock and roll world of strong women. I love it.
Yeah, well, that was the idea. Once the three of us got a record deal, June, Jean, and myself, it was, why not bring the other women in? And
this is also released on Blue Alon Records.
Yeah, Blue Alon.
All right, so the song I'm going to play, it's a fun video. You can look for this out on YouTube also. This is When We Need Her. This is fantastic.
Sheree's singing on this.
Yes, she's in the video too.
Feels like the darkest of all our nights so far. After all this work we've done, we've climbed so high. And you know, we're all in together, calling the ones who have come before, keep the doors wide open, wide open. She comes when we need her, she comes when there's need, calling on our sisters and mothers and daughters.
This was also produced by Dave?
Yes.
Amazing. This is such great stuff. Like I want people to go to iTunes right now and buy that song and then go, oh, I need to listen to another one. And then buy another one and then just buy the whole thing. Do it.
Well, thank you.
Come on, people.
Yeah, there's also Lured Away, which is another killer song on that record. It's so great to hear that When We Need Her, because I hadn't heard that in a while.
Listen to this.
Time. It's great.
Listen to this.
I'm not starving.
Love it.
But I'm kind of hungry. My heart beats. I'm not exactly dying. Kind of living is kind of dying. I don't feel like singing. I'm not flatlining. I still got a pulse. Not flying. Not good enough. Nothing's wrong. That ain't right. You don't hear me.
All right, listeners, those were two songs back to back from the album Fanny Walked the Earth. If you don't like that, then you don't like music.
I agree.
That's what I'm going to say.
Isn't that amazing? Oh,
yeah,
my God.
It's amazing.
God,
it's
so
amazing.
Good.
Now, you did some solo albums after The Runaways, and then you did some albums with your sister.
No, I mean, I did one album with my sister, yes.
Just one?
Just one. Yeah, called Messing with the Boys that came out on Capitol.
I thought there was two.
Mm-mm. No, well, no
would,
I did.
You
I
would
did,
know better than me.
Well, I did a single really for Japan. Mm-hmm. Marie and I did a couple things for Japan, but it was like a single and a B-side, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, Marie figured out after we had spent $250,000 on this record that she didn't want a tour and she wanted to have babies with Steve. And it was like, are you shitting me? You're kidding, right? And so I lost my deal with Capitol. I was, so this is a little, you know, big mistakes that you make.
Yeah.
When you kind of know that you can't really work with family, it's not a good mm-hmm. dynamic. It just isn't, especially yeah. when I've been doing it for years and my sister hadn't. It just was a bad thing. My father really kind of thought I needed to do this. And I, you know, that's when you're young,
yeah.
You know, it's wrong and you do it anyway, and then you pay the price. So,
it's not a long lasting rift though, is it?
Hmm?
That you guys are still friendly
oh,
now.
They're fine.
It's, yeah. It's fine.
Oh yeah. 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 I mean, you know, it's not her fault.
Yeah.
You know, it was, I just, it's just being
you
young
wanted
and
it.
Naive.
You wanted and you wanted it more than she wanted it.
Oh hell no, I did not.
You did not.
No, I did not. I wanted to be a solo artist first.
Okay,
but that was not acceptable to my father, and it just didn't. When it doesn't feel right and you do it mm-hmm. anyway, it always comes back to bite you in the butt.
It does.
It sure does.
Well, you and Marie did a cover of a Rainbow song, which is amazing.
Well, you know what. Unfortunately, had Rainbow not had it come out at the same time,
right.
Actually, cover of another song. I mean, they took the song like we took the song.
Okay.
I mean, they didn't write that song.
No, but you guys both did it at the same time.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Your version is amazing.
For us,
yeah, and your version's amazing.
Well, thank you.
Can I play some of it?
Sure.
This is Since You've Been Gone.
In my head, thoughts that I bet you could break up. These four walls are closing in. Look at the fix you put me in. Since you've been gone, since you've been gone, I'm out of my head, can't take it. Could I be wrong? But since you've been gone, you cast the spell, so break it.
Sounds great.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. Nice.
Thank you.
You don't look too pleased with that.
Oh no!
Okay.
It brings back memories of things that didn't work out.
Okay. Well, I don't want to do that.
Oh no, no, it's okay. It's fine. I mean, I'm not going to be doing double backflips. Oh, that was so great. It's like that was
all right. You're being honest with me. That's good.
Is there any other way?
Well, there is other ways, but I like the honesty better.
No, the honesty. Yeah, the thing is that, look, I mean, it was a time in my life that was regrettable.
Mm-hmm.
But there's music there, so fine.
Yeah, and you sound great. I love that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Bree.
So you guys do Give Me Shelter on the new album. And you're no stranger, Bree, to doing a Rolling Stones cover because Fanny did Let's Spend the Night Together.
That's right. I might have forgotten that. We did do that on Rock and Roll Survivors. Wow.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to play some Gimme Shelter, and then I'll play a little bit of that Let's Spend the Night Together.
All right.
Here we go. This is from The Motivator. Who is The Motivator in your life, Bree? Are you self-motivated?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for saying that, because I would say that's true.
All right, good. And what about you, Cherie?
Absolutely. I'm the motivated one.
All right, good.
Yeah.
Is that why you guys chose to call it The Motivator?
Yes, that's right.
Well, I've lived alone for 20 years. If I don't motivate myself, nobody's going to.
That's right. True. That's true. Okay, here is Gimme Shelter.
It's just a shot away. It's just a
guys, like, you made these songs special because, you know, you read and you go, oh, they did a cover of Gimme Shelter. What are they going to do with that? And
you're pushing the fader down too early because she comes in on the second verse, and that really shows how, when Bree and I sing split, how great it sounds.
Let me back up a little bit.
Yeah.
Let's back up a little bit.
You gotta back it up, dude. There we go.
Okay.
Well, actually,
I'm gone.
She's gone now, so you have to back it up. No. No, nope, that's her.
I like that you want to give your bandmate props. Very nice.
She's absolutely
the best, man.
I mean, that's the beauty of the song. And that was the first song we ever did together. I mean, besides the fantasy.
I have to say this. I did the scratch vocal. Mm-hmm. And then Cherie came in to do her verse, and she was sick that day. We had to coerce her into coming in and doing it, and she was...
You had to motivate her to come in.
Yes, we did. And she wasn't well. She had some kind of throat issue, and she sang it, and she had this real, like, crack and stuff going on in her throat, and it was so awesome. I just lost it right then.
It works.
It's there.
Yeah,
that's
it works.
That's her first take right there. And I hear that, and I just freaking love it.
Yeah, it feels... I like real voices
raw.
Singing. Yeah, I don't want this, you know...
Fixed, cleaned,
singing a line at a time and cutting it all together and all that.
Yeah, no, that's raw and raspy and
this
real.
This is more rock and roll.
I totally agree with you.
You know, I remember I saw a special, what was it? It was a documentary about Aerosmith's The Making of Pump, which was a huge album for them. And in the studio, like, Steven Tyler was like singing like a line at a time, and I didn't know that was something that
you could
or that even went on. I always thought that you went in and you sang it and then you used the best take or whatever. But I was like, oh, I kind of very disappointed to see someone just sing a line of the song and oh, okay, we have that. Let's move on. I'm like, what? I didn't like it.
Yeah.
We don't work that way.
That's why I like live. Because you know what? There is no red button. Like sometimes I get into a thing and I get going and I don't want to be stopped. And in the studio, you know, you're like getting ready to do it. And all of a sudden the tape stops and you're left standing there in your underwear.
Yeah, just when your voice is really getting warmed up.
Oh, man. I love live. I love
That's why it's so important to say, I don't care what, do not stop that damn tape.
Yeah.
You know, let me, because if you're in the zone and you're finally getting, then you hear the music. I mean, that's when I want to kill people.
Yeah, me too.
You know, I say, I have that, you know, because it you know, that our voices, I mean, it's not like, you know, you break a guitar string or, you know, I mean, blisters on the fingers hurt like it would be awful. But the thing is that, you know, it's hard because it's a connection with your instrument in a way that if you are at all distracted or what, I mean, people don't really realize how hard it is to bring out of you, you know, unless you're a professional type. When I'm not, I don't sing at all unless I'm.
Unless you have to sing.
To.
Unless
in
you're
front
asked
of a microphone.
No, I do not. I don't sing even in my car. I don't sing.
Yeah.
So when I do get that opportunity, I want to be, what I mean.
I don't want to be in my head ready to stop because the tape is going to stop.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be in that frame
zone,
of mind.
Yeah.
I want to be full on present to wail.
Cool. Very nice. How do you think you were able to keep your voice going if you're not, because a lot of people that don't sing, you can tell that they haven't been singing.
I think, you know what, it's funny because when Dakota was playing me in the movie, she was whispering like this, and I said, why are you whispering? She goes, because that's the way you used to talk. And I was like, really? So I had to go look at videos, and sure enough, I whispered all the time.
Wow.
I don't know why. But now I've become this big, boisterous
mama. Yeah, I was
going to
say, you're like a presence. I don't see you whispering ever.
No, so I think, and plus I've noticed too that I have a lot of melody when I speak. And I think that's almost like running scales in a way.
All right.
I think. I mean, don't ask
it has
me.
To be,
I don't
it
know.
It's something because you still got it.
Oh, thank you.
And Bree, happy birthday. You have a birthday coming up in a couple of days.
I do. Thank you very much.
I'm not going to say how old you are, but I cannot believe that's the birthday that's coming up for you.
I know.
That is unbelievable.
Well, you either get older or you don't.
Well, it's whatever you're doing is keeping you young. for
sure. Well, thank you.
And also, this is, you know, just doing research, like things like you're the mom of Brandy Brandt.
Right.
And I'm like, well, that can't be right. That's going to be a different Brandy Brandt. No.
No, there's only one.
There's only one. So at one point, you, Nikki Sixx was your son-in-law.
Yeah, I have four. I have three grandkids from him. Yeah.
You were three sixes.
I have three sixes, yes. I have three of the four sixes.
That's amazing.
Well, now there's five. No, but, you know, their sister Frankie's like another little. She's awesome.
Well, and you don't have any grandkids yet.
Unfortunately, no.
Oh, you want one. You want some.
I do. I love babies.
How old is your son?
He's 28.
Well, he's getting in the age where he... Does he have a girlfriend yet?
He did for 4.5 years, but right now they're taking a break. And and Jake lost their house on the Woosley fire.
Oh, I'm sorry.
On Malibu Lake. So that kind of scattered the whole family to the wind. And I think, you know... So, yes, but I don't see any children anytime soon, and I'm very sad about that.
Well, you'll be a young grandmother no matter what.
Yep.
Because that's how it is. That's, I feel like that's how you are inside. You're
absolutely
just like raring to go.
Yes.
All right, let's, I was going to play a little bit of that Fanny Rolling Stone cover. Let's spend the night together, and we'll talk a little bit more about The Motivator. Oh, thank you.
That's cool.
Yeah. I want to give people a taste of everything.
Yeah, that's cool. Back and forth.
So we lost Cherie. Cherie went to the restroom, but that's fine. I'm here with Bree. Bree, what can you tell me? What was it like to tour with Robert Palmer? What was this guy like? Was he ever not in a suit?
No, I think he slept in a suit.
Like, that guy never comes in jeans and shorts.
No, never. He was so classy. He was. Robert was awesome. He, I think, was the only person I've ever toured with that I got to do everything I do. I got to play drums, play percussion. Mm-hmm. I played electronic drums, which I'd never done before, and sing. So I got to do everything. Most of the time I get hired as either a percussionist and sing, or a drummer and sing. I never do just one thing, but I never get to do all those things. So with Robert, I did. And plus, he was a real test because I had to work hard to do some really strange stuff. He had me playing some really cool time signatures, and it was a musical test. So.
And just from his persona, he's just a gentleman all the time?
Oh, yeah. He was just, super cool, classy dude.
Yeah. I mean... and that music he created, in that time period, he was around for a long time before he achieved the worldwide, MTV success. And is that when did you tour at that point?
I toured with him in, I think it was 90. So, at that point. But I just want to say something.
Sure.
Just because he was classy and everything is not to say that it was not a wild,
yes. No, I'm sure.
The first night out on tour, the bass player came to my room and said, "Hey, you want to go out and hit some bars? I'm going to some nudie bars." And I said, "No, thank you. I have to practice my parts." He said, "Okay, but just remember, you got to know how to hang with the band." That night, he got arrested. So I was so glad that I did not go hang out with him.
Yeah, at the nudie bar.
No, it was a wild ride.
This is Robert Palmer.
This is Robert Palmer.
Robert Palmer did not get arrested. The bass player did.
Right,
I won't say his name.
Okay. Well, you see, I didn't even really know that she had sang with him because, I remember where I was. I was on the 405 freeway coming up to Sepulveda heading north at 10 o'clock in the morning when I heard his first single, which was...
Addicted to Love?
Addicted to Love.
Yeah.
I will never forget that moment because I sat and this is the most incredible song I'd ever heard.
I mean, everything came together on that song.
Yeah,
I mean, the production, the drums.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't see the video. Yeah, but then the video, it's just insane.
But it was him. I mean, he was, so neat that I'm sitting next to a woman that, you know.
And rock in peace, Robert Palmer. We lost him way too
way
early. Unbelievable.
Yeah. He was a monster. He was awesome.
And then Carole King, what can you tell us about Carole King?
Carole, well, she was another one of those guys. I mean, you know, she was guys. She was awesome to work with. And my favorite thing about Carole is she's just such a master of her instrument and her voice. The band would sit around after the show. She would always do You've Got a Friend at the end. I toured with her for 5 years. And then she would just start going into this zone where she would just start freestyling, singing and going off on these melodies, and she was such a master of it. It would be like she would start going to places that I didn't think was going to work, and I'd go be thinking, "No, don't do it," and then it would work.
And this was just her alone on
her
stage.
Alone,
at this point.
At the end, she would sing it by herself, and she was always so grateful. She would thank not only her band, she would thank her crew. She would by name. She would thank the local crew and thank the audience all the time because she's so gracious and just a wonderful person.
That's I'm glad that's a great story because when I think of Carole King or just seeing her in interviews and stuff, or what Lisa's told me about her, that sounds like someone I'd love to meet.
Yeah, she would always say that, you know, like it doesn't happen without the band. You know, she's just a gracious.
And she meant it.
Yes,
because a lot of people say it, but whatever. I'm the star.
She's
genuine.
Yeah, she's genuine and wonderful to work with.
Excellent.
Let me sing duets with her on stage.
What would you sing? What song would you sing with
her?
She
had me sing Way Over Yonder with her live.
Oh, that's a great song.
I know, and I was... I mean, who does that of her caliber? She's awesome.
And to play that catalog of songs every night, just and the audience just, they love it immediately. The first note, they're into it.
When I got to work with her, when she first hired me, I didn't have to learn her songs. I already knew them. I grew up knowing her songs. I learned music on her songs.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Here's what I wanted to ask Cherie about the Runaways again. Are you tired of Runaways questions, like just from everyone?
No, I mean, I'm
it was a tiny, tiny part of your life. But people always want to talk about it.
But the thing is, you know, I mean, I had only been on the planet 15 years when it started, and so I'm just used to it. Now I'm 50, you know, I'll be 60 in November, so it's like, I've answered them all a gazillion times.
Yeah.
It's easy.
All right, good. But I don't want to be that person that asks the same questions
either. Keep it going. No, you couldn't ask a different question. Okay?
There isn't a different question.
No, there isn't one that hasn't been
Here's
asked
one.
Yet.
When the Runaways movie came out, and you know, I would see the pictures of you and Joan Lita, you know, at the premiere or whatever, and you guys, I think you guys kind of reconnected.
Well, Lita,
then.
No, Lita had nothing to do with it. I don't think she's even seen the film yet.
Really?
Nope.
I guess that my question's out the door then, but I'll ask anyway. When that movie came out, did you think that there would be Runaway shows? Did you think that would ever happen?
I was hopeful.
Mm-hmm.
And, it, you know.
Everyone has to agree. You just can't.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's always been Joan and Lita, you know, having issues with each other. Not me.
Yeah.
You know, I've played with each one of them.
Right. Yes,
so,
yes.
No. So, you know, it just, I was hopeful, but then Joan didn't want to do it, you know? And it's like, well, you know, why would we even call it the Runaways? Look at our age. It's ridiculous. And it's like, but it's like, why not?
I mean, why not?
You only live once. What the heck? You know?
Exactly.
But so it just, you know,
You think the Backstreet Boys aren't doing it because they're men?
Perfect example. But so, you know, I mean, I had my hopes up so many times that it's just such a relief to let it go.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I mean, it's monumental to me.
Mm.
You know, the past needs to stay in the past.
Right.
And let it go with love.
Let it go. Yeah. Like Two Brews. I love that song. Let it go with love. And, you know, and then kick it down the street whenever you feel like it. Just like back, kick it, karate chop it if it starts creeping back, you know?
Well, I can't imagine that the Runaways will never be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I can't imagine. I can definitely imagine it because Susie Quattro's not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. If they can be that stupid,
yeah.
I mean, you know, to me it means nothing to me. I mean,
but
it really doesn't.
I believe you. I can just tell. I'm getting a sense of you. A good sense.
Well, I just know what's right and
but
what's
if it
wrong.
But if it did happen, you would go.
You know
if
what?
Susie
no,
goes?
I wouldn't. Oh, if Susie was inducted, sure.
But if a Runaways get inducted, you got to go because do that for the fans.
No,
you wouldn't know.
No, because it's not fair that if it wasn't for Susie, there wouldn't have been a Joan Jett. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I loved her. She gave me hope.
Yeah.
And if for some godforsaken reason, they can't see the monumental, what she gifts mm-hmm. she gave all of us girls, and people don't stand up and say, yeah, you know, a lot of people just say, well, you know, she was Leather Tuscadero. It's like, you have no idea what she was.
She was Leather Tuscadero here in America.
No, but I lived here.
Right.
I lived here in America. Yeah. I had her, you know, Your Mama Won't Like Me record. Mm-hmm. I could kick the can. I mean,
And she's still doing it. She's still doing it.
Right. And I got the honor of writing a song for her new movie, her biography that's coming out, which is just by far the best
documentary.
Thank you.
Are you in it?
Yes, okay, I am. Nice. And also Susie joins me on stage in London for the song I wrote called Rock and Roll Rosie. And she's just gracious and wonderful. And to me, you know, look, people snub all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. I've always thought that was really low rent. But when someone has changed my life so hugely,
So you wouldn't feel, you really wouldn't feel comfortable about getting in before Susie Quattro.
Oh, hell no. No.
Yeah.
I think that either they turn around, and I think this movie's going to help a lot, because what she gave us as kids was ridiculous, and as far as just giving us the hope that we could do this in a hopeless situation.
Yeah.
And she was kicking ass. I was watching her open for Alice Cooper and Elton John, mm-hmm. and she killed it. This tiny little thing alone with no help.
Yeah.
And she deserves it. And if she can't, to me, she's done so much more than the Runaways could ever do.
This is just my passionate opinion. Argument for Susie Quattro. Very nice.
It is, because, I mean, it's what it has to be. Yeah. You know, it should have happened so long ago, honestly. So, you know, I think it's a political baloney if they don't put her in. Like now.
Well, the whole thing is political.
I know,
the zombies just got in this past year.
Yeah, I think it's all in who you know and whatever the heck. I don't know what it is. I don't know how you get into these things. But
the reward for Susie is that people love her and she's still making a living doing what she loves. So that's cool. But
she sold 55 million records.
That's insane.
It's insane.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Right.
All right. The motivator. What? Could we sell 55 million motivator albums?
We certainly hope so. One at a time.
Now, what all do you do? Because the music business is always changing. What else do you guys do to get? Well, you put Ken to work. You tell him to kick down the doors for you. Like, can you get? Is anyone playing the stuff on the radio yet?
Well, we hope so. I don't personally mm-hmm. keep track of that. We have a team to do it. You know, Cherise, and my job is to prepare ourselves to go out on the road. That's
right,
how
right.
we're going to sell it.
Sure.
Well, the Junk Man, you know, do you remember the Junk Man?
No,
okay,
I don't know.
Okay, well, he's still, yeah, I mean, he had a big show. Wow. I mean, way back, I think a couple decades ago, but he's been playing it on I think he was with KLOS and it went under. I mean, a lot, you know, and then when they come back, it's a different kind of music. And, you know, I wouldn't even know the first thing to do. I mean, record companies, they don't invest like they did back when Brie and I were making records.
Yeah,
times have changed. Yeah,
big time.
We hear, and I don't really know that it's mostly, you know, social media is how you promote stuff nowadays. But
well, that's why you're here.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right. So. And so you know, we're getting ready to go out on tour. That's mm-hmm. that's our job, and put that show together and do what we do, which is perform live. I don't do the selling and the marketing and stuff like that. I write songs, I sing, I play drums, and I...
Well, I can't wait to see you guys play these songs live and whatever other songs you decide to play.
You got to come to the show. We're going to be here in November. So.
Are you guys just going to play this album, or are you going to draw from songs from other parts of your career?
Oh,
you
have to. We absolutely
everything.
Have. Well, you know what? I mean, and Brie and I agree on this wholeheartedly that, you know, we pay homage to our fans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, they are the most important, and whatever they want to hear is what they're going to get.
All right, cool.
Some of the things that you played today, you know, people want to hear this.
They do want to hear it.
That's why we're going to make them happy.
Now, I want to play the cover of He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother. And Cherie, you wrote like there's a little part in there that I think Bree is it's like a poem almost.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What was it? And it's called I wrote it down. Is it He's My Brother? Is that what your little part is that you wrote?
No.
Is that what it's called?
No. I called it that because...
You called it that. In the liner notes, it says...
Well, that's because the song was written, you know, we're using it as background.
Right, right.
We can't take... That's a copywritten song.
Okay.
And we can't, you know,
right.
affect their lyrics.
But in the liner notes, it says, he's my brother, and then it has this verse written by Cherie.
Right.
Did you write that for someone specific? Where did that come from?
I wrote it for Bree to sing.
You just wrote it for... So it's not based on... A person in your life or anything like
that? It's based on what we've been facing. Bree and I and Dave, of course, we're all very heartbroken about our vets and the homeless
sure.
situation. And of course, both Bree's and my dad, you know, they all, and grandfathers, you know, fought. And well, my dad in World War II, yours
yeah,
as well.
In the service, yeah.
And,
wow.
And, but the thing is that, you know, the homeless vets, in particular, it just breaks my heart.
Their situation is just awful. Unfathomable.
When yes. I was when I was a kid, I thought that if you were in the Army or Navy, Air Force, or Marines, whatever, and you retired from there, that
your life was set.
Yeah, I thought you were taken care of for your entire life.
One would think.
Yeah, you would really think, and that's not the
case. And we were wrong.
Yeah, and I didn't know that. I didn't know that until I was in my 30s. I'm like, what are you talking about, you homeless vets? Yeah,
the suicide rate is insane.
Yeah.
The homeless, it's the numbers are just... it's just,
staggering.
Yeah.
It's staggering. Unbelievable. All right. Let's... We go from that, and then we're going to play the song.
Yeah.
But here we go. I've always loved this song. He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother.
But I'm strong. Strong enough to carry him. He ain't heavy, he's my brother. So on we go.
He finds a park bench and settles down.
His welfare is my concern. No burden is he
snaps his hand to his
to bear. We'll get
when
there. For I know he will not encumber me. Ain't heavy.
No.
He's my brother. And if I'm late,
that's the one that gives you chills on the album. That's the one.
I just want to cry hearing that. It's beautiful.
It's amazing. It's just so good.
And you know, the crazy part is that that was a scratch. That was a scratch key check.
Yeah,
vocal. I mean, I only sang the song through once, really, and then Dave and I and then no, and then Dave said, "Well, you know, if I had to fix a little." Mm-hmm. But the thing is what I didn't want to go back in and do it again, to be honest, because I it was unpretentious vocal.
Yeah.
I just said, you know what, let's keep that. And then Bree did this amazing. Which I cried. Remember, I cried.
I cried every time
bridge.
I hear that song
because the hoorah and who you know,
yeah.
all that stuff that I'd written for the bridge section to hear her angelic voice do it. Just I lost it. I mean, it was this song means a lot to us.
Yeah.
The end when she does the ad libs, I just. When I listen to the whole thing, every time I still listen, I just either want to cry or I do cry just because this, I think this song out of all of them just slays me.
Well, as a listener, for me preparing, I pulled the songs that made me feel something.
Moved you?
Yeah, moved me. Thank you. So, that definitely, you definitely nailed it on that one too. So let's go to the third original. That's not three. There's three. Third original on the album, I'm Too Good, and That's Just Too Bad.
My book of words, been writing them down, turning down the voices, still hanging around. Knock off that dust that's gathered with time, and all those pretty pictures, and none of them mine. Surprise, surprises, been locked in my head. That dirty thing left me shiny instead. Too bad. Yeah. I'm not that girl you used.
That knocking freaks me out. I was listening to this with the headphones the other night at my house. And that knocking, and I'm like, what is that? And I had to take the headphones off. Oh, that must be in the song. I backed it up. I'm like, oh, it is. But that was freaking me out. So thanks, guys. Girl, she gave me nightmares.
Thanks, Dave, darling.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. So just going to keep promoting the record. And, oh, by the way, I wanted to say that one was co-written by the two of you with Dave and Susie Quattro's sister, Patty Quattro.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Does Patty live out here? Does Susie live out here? Where do these...
No, Susie lives in the UK.
In the UK.
And Patty lives in Texas, right?
She lives in Austin, yeah.
Susie's been in the UK for forever.
Forever.
She's like Chrissy Hynde. They went there and stayed there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're going to keep promoting the record, and then tour dates. When is the tour? Do you think it might start?
November.
You're going to start in LA.
Yes.
Yes.
People that live here either start here or end here, or maybe they do both.
We'll probably do both.
Start and end.
Maybe so. No end. We'll just do it till we can't.
Yeah.
I want to play a couple more songs, then I'll get you out of here, because you guys got other stuff to do today, right? You want to get home before traffic.
Before traffic.
I want to play another song off Fanny Walk the Earth. I want to play a song called Walk the Earth.
Nobody said it was easy. If it was, everybody would. We were sisters, we were daughters, mixing all. It's all right, it's all right. Making the rules, creating action. It's all right, all right. Oh, maybe it's down to you. Walk, walk the earth. Oh, we were just walking through. Walk the earth.
So good. Thank just you. So good. These two albums are so good. And I never thought that I'd be promoting this Fanny Walk the Earth today too. But when I discovered it, I'm like, well, I can't, this thing needs to get some play also.
I'm Thank so you. Glad you say that too, because I mean, that was also, believe it or not, one of the major reasons why I wanted to do this with Bree was because I couldn't stand the idea of that record dying.
Yeah.
And even Bree's husband turned around and he goes, so the album's dead. And I remember when we were coming from a record luncheon, and I said, absolutely not. It cannot happen.
Yeah,
it can't happen.
No.
It's, well, thank you both for that. That's so awesome.
But I mean,
it's an honor.
The thing is, it's because of, you know, you can buy things digitally. You know, I still like physical stuff, but you can get it. People can hear this all over the world when they hear this show, and they can go get it.
Thank you so much for that. I really appreciate it.
This and the Motivator. They're a nice companion piece. I think they're so good. Cherie, in 2015, you re-recorded some of the songs from The Runaways.
That was called Reverie. Reverie, yeah. Right. That was Kim Fowley and my son both produced that. Mm-hmm. That was right before he died. In fact, he died just days before we were finished with it.
So you stayed close with him throughout?
I took care of him and moved him into my house.
Oh, wow.
He was, I think, at my house about 11 days. But that was 24 hours. He was bedridden. It was, yeah. But it was a wonderful thing because I really loved him when he died. I hated his guts for the majority of my life.
Yeah.
So to be able to let go of that, like we were talking about, letting go of that stuff, I knew it was more important, that it was more harmful for me to keep that inside than to fix it, which is what we ended up doing. And so.
Yeah, it's hard to let stuff go sometimes.
Yeah.
For me, it is. I hang on.
Well, it's really very healthy for your life.
Yeah, it's
in
better to let it go.
You have to. Really have to.
I'm going to play the version from that album, Reverie, of American Nights. And does your son play on this album too?
Yeah, he plays a lot of he plays drums and guitars and bass. Yeah, he plays a lot of stuff.
All right. Well, this version rocks. Let's hear American Nights. That's Lita there? Oh, yeah, it is. Chasing after the moonlight, hiding from the sun. American Nights, you can sustain. American Nights, and you're never gonna change. Was it easy to convince you to go relive some of these songs?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I love these songs. I mean, when I was doing my touring, a couple of years back, I mean, that's the thing, is I was promoting the Blackheart record that never came out until, of course, right before Breeze and My record came out after 9 years. But I love the songs. How can you not?
Yeah.
I grew up with them and I love them. Yeah.
And did you think, you know what, I think I can do it better. Or did you just want to do it different? Because I think that's a great version of that.
Thank you. Well, it was great, and also Lita, who I hadn't seen in like 40 years, right? I mean, we reconnected, and I did a single with her, "Rock This Christmas Down," which was a Christmas single she put out, which is the first time I'd seen her in so long. And then we just continued it on, and it was just great to work with Lita and Kim. It was
excellent. There's a lot of positive songs on The Motivator, as I've been saying. And some great "I Love Something in the Air," "For What It's Worth," and is there one that you guys would like to leave us with today? Is there something I should play us out with? Do you want me to pick? Do you guys want to pick?
You pick.
Yeah,
you pick, Pat.
I think because of what's happened the past couple of days in the country with the mass shootings, I think I got to close out with "Get It Together."
I was going to suggest that myself.
People need to fucking together.
Yeah.
Before I do that, I got to stop. I'm almost going to tear up.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I know it's awful.
I'm a crybaby. You guys are out there on social media. You guys are on Twitter. Mm-hmm. I think you're at Sharia and Bree.
Yes.
And then you're both out there separately too. But so everyone follow you guys there. Is there a website? Ken, is there a website for these ladies? No. Ken. There better be one by the end of the day, Ken.
I think there's Sheree Curry and Bree Darling.com through Blue Alon.
Through Blue Alon. Okay.
Yeah. Nice.
Go to Blue Alon Records.com. BLUEELAN Records.com.
Yeah.
And we'll find tour dates and we'll find everything for you there. Okay. I'm at Pat_Francis and we are at Rock Solid Show. Again, thank you very much, Ken. This was wonderful to meet. What do you like to be called? Women sounds weird to me. Lady sounds too old. Chicks sounds dismissive.
Well, we call each other girl.
Girl?
Girly.
Hey, girl. Yeah, girly. Hey, girl.
So I say girls. That's not dismissive
girls
to
is
you,
great.
Too.
All love right. It.
I've loved.
At our age, we'll take any.
Oh, and my wife, Pilar, I'm supposed to give you a shout out because she just loves the movie Foxes. She thought, she always says, like, she was so badass in that movie, and I wanted to be like her. And I'm like, what's that? Is
well,
that really
she's good?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like
you give her a big squeeze and a squash from me.
Well, I will.
Okay.
And from me, no, from you too. All right, let's close it out. Everyone, go buy The Motivator. Also, go buy Fanny Walk the Earth. They're both out there on iTunes and Amazon, and I think you can buy them. They're both released by Elan Records, so go
Blue
to the
Elan,
website.
Yeah.
Blue Elan, sorry. And it's great to meet you two.
Pat, you were great.
Oh, thank you.
Really
Pat.
Appreciate it.
You guys signed stuff for the listeners, so I got three copies of The Motivator. I got a copy of Fanny Rock and Roll Survivors, and I have a copy of the first Runaway CD, and thank you for signing my album, Sheree.
You're a pleasure,
fantastic.
Pat. We'll see you again.
I hope so. I'm going to call Ken and go
and
get
great
me,
job.
Get me tickets to that show.
Great
yes.
job.
Oh, thank
you're
you.
On.
Yeah. All right, here is Get It Together. Thanks, girls.
Love is but a song we sing. Fear's the way we die. You can make the mountains ring or make the angels cry. Though the bird is on the wing, surely pass. When the one that left us here returns for us at last, we are but a moment's sunlight fading in the grass.
Hi, this is Bree Darling, and you're listening to the Rock Solid Podcast with Pat Francis.